Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Part eight of Majoring on the Minors is the book of Habakkuk. Everyone say that? Say it however you like. There's another word, another way you can say it. Yeah, however you want to say it. I'm going to say Habakkuk, otherwise I'm going to get confused and in trouble. So the title of this morning's message is Yet I Will. And I'm going to give you some a brief rundown of the book and then we'll get into it. Is that okay? So Habakkuk. So Jerusalem, around 605 BC. Judah is rotten from the inside. Corrupt courts, crooked justice, and God's own people behaving like nobody is watching. Gosh, I know that's not like us. Habakkuk asks God, why is he doing nothing? And God says that he is already acting. He is bringing Babylon. There's a good thought. The answer is worse than the problem. Babylon symbolizes of human pride, rebellion against God and evil. So that's God's way of fixing it. Habakkuk argues back, God never explains why. He gives him a promise instead that the righteous shall live by his faith. The book ends with the prophet shaking with fear, staring at total ruin and singing. So there's some encouragement for us this morning. So God never answers Habakkuk's question. He never answers it. He answers Habakkuk. And that turns out to be enough. And I hope that through this story, through this book, that you find encouragement for your own walk, your own journey, perhaps your own question. The theme of the book is faith that holds when the explanation never comes. Faith that holds when the explanation never comes. So what does God reveal about himself in the book? He rules the nations. He reveals that, even the ones that don't know his name. That he is holy, so holy that Habakkuk argues from God's character against what he sees. And I'll explain more about that. And he is near enough to be questioned. And he meets a furious man on a watchtower. So I've got 3 points this morning. They're really simple. Bring it. Everyone say, bring it. Stay with it. And worship in it. So I'm going to ask you a question now. Have you ever prayed about something for a long time and watched nothing change? Perhaps don't raise your hands, but maybe think about it. Maybe you prayed for your family. Maybe you prayed for your children. Maybe you prayed about a diagnosis that you have and it kept going the wrong way. And somewhere in there, a question started forming. God, why aren't you doing anything about this? Perhaps that's a question that you may have asked. Perhaps that's a question that you may ask. Most of us never really say that out loud because it sort of feels disrespectful. So we just keep it inside or keep it to ourselves. Not because you don't believe, but because you do. And the question feels like a betrayal of that. So you've carried it quietly for years and you've never said it out loud, especially in a room like this. This morning we read a book written by a man who asked it, who asked a question. And he isn't like the other prophets. Every other prophet faces the people and says, thus saith the Lord. Because they're prophets and they're facing the people and they say, this is what the Lord is saying. But Habakkuk has turned the other way. He isn't bringing God's word to the people. He's bringing the people's questions to God. Slightly different. Completely different. Complaint, answer. Complaint, answer, then a song. And God never once tells him off for it. The book moves in three steps. He brings it, he stays with it, and he worships in it. And that is our morning. Amen. So firstly, bring it. In Habakkuk 1, verses 2 to 3, it says, O Lord, everyone say, O Lord, so I know you're awake. How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? If we notice who he's angry at, he's not angry at Babylon, he's actually angry at God. And it isn't the sin outside Judah that has broken him, it's the sin inside. God's own people, God's own city, courts corrupt, justice crooked, and God is seemingly doing nothing. How long is the oldest prayer in the world? It gets prayed over so many things in our lives. Maybe over a child who won't come home, over that diagnosis, an addiction, or even an empty chair. For those that have prayed those things, you know what I'm talking about. God answers fast, and the answer is a nightmare. He says, I am already acting. I am bringing Babylon. That isn't a correction. That's the end of everything he loves. The temple, the city, the nation. So Habakkuk pushes back harder. You are too pure to look at evil. Why do you stay silent while the wicked swallow up the righteous? Chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that. Watch what he actually means. His objection only works because he knows God. He isn't arguing against his faith. He is arguing from a place from his faith. This doesn't look like you. And he can only say that because he knows what God looks like. Because how can we say, God, this doesn't look like you if you don't know what he looks like? So he's coming from a place of knowing who he is. So your hardest question isn't proof your faith is failing. So your hardest question, even here this morning, is not proof that your faith is failing. It's proof that it's working. See, God is not fragile. You can bring it. God is not fragile. You can bring it. I was only talking to someone this week, and he was sharing he's new to the faith, and he was sharing his passion and joy that he understands that Jesus was a man, not just this. You know, Christians can have a pretty bad reputation of being wimpy and you know, soft and all that. But Jesus was a man, a man's man. He wasn't some blow-in-the-wind sort of insecure, insipid man. He was a man. And I love that. So he's not fragile. We don't have to treat God as fragile. He can handle your toughest questions. He can handle the things that really bother you from knowing God. So he wasn't questioning his character, he's questioning it from it. God, you can't look at evil. Why? What are you doing? Because this doesn't look like you. So stay with it. In Habakkuk 2:1, it says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. He has just told God the answer is unacceptable. He has told God that his answer to his question is unacceptable. So then he climbs the tower to wait for the reply. That is the whole difference here. He doesn't storm off. He doesn't go quiet. He doesn't quit. He carries the question to the one place God speaks and stands there. If you were here last week, we discussed that Nahum in Nahum about the strong tower, that God is our refuge and our strong tower. We discussed that the strong tower was not a building, but a what? A name. The name above every other name, Jesus. So you can symbolize this watchtower, this tower that he was going to hear the reply, that he was running not away from Jesus, but running to Jesus. Running to. So where do we go? Where do we run? What do you do? Do you go away from it saying, well, God, you're not going to give me what I want? It's unacceptable, so I'm going to walk away. Or do you just run to him and wait for your answer? See, doubt that stays with God becomes faith. Doubt that stays with God becomes faith. Doubt that walks away becomes something else. Doubt that walks away becomes something else. What is that something else? It could be unbelief. It could be bitterness. It could be an attitude. Could be criticism, but doubt that stays with God becomes faith. Doubt that walks away becomes something else. The problem was never that you had the question. The problem is where you have been carrying it. Everywhere except the one place that it can be answered. Where do you carry your question? If you don't get it, the answer, one that you want or in the time frame that you want it, where do you then carry it? Interesting, eh? Because then we hear all the things. The church let us down. Evan let us down. The roles aren't there. You know, everything becomes this criticism and question. God let me down. His word let me down. It's not real. It's not right. There's an injustice here. I was told that God's like this, but now he's showing me something different. Or is he? So where are you carrying your question if it doesn't get answered? Why, the way you want it or when you want it? Let's look what God does for the man who waits. Habakkuk 2:4. But the righteous shall live by his faith. He never explains why. Not once in three chapters. No reason, no justification. He gives him a promise instead. I won't give you an explanation. I will give you myself. And I'll ask you to live on that. It's not a cop-out. It's more than likely called mercy. Listen to this. An explanation satisfies your head for a week. A God you can trust holds you for a lifetime. An explanation satisfies your head for a week, because once you get that answer that you want when you want it, you move on. You don't even think about it. There's no faith involved in that. It's just bang, I've got what I want, I'm moving on. It'll last a week. It'll last a very short period of time. But a God that gives you what he just said, that the righteous shall live by faith, the God that gives of himself to you, causes you that you can trust in him, and that will last you a lifetime. So every single question, every single thought, every single time when you have to wait. So you're not just going to wait once. It's not just a one of. These things that we talk about in Scripture aren't just one-hit wonders. You're not going to go through heartache and heartache and heartache. You're going to go through life, good things and bad things, all the time whilst we're here. It's not just one good thing and one bad thing and one not so sure thing and one doubt. It's going to happen over and over again. But if you're not equipped to be able to handle every time those questions arises, you're going to find yourself in the same place every single time. But that's not transformation, is it? Transformation is understanding and knowing your God and changing you. So every time you look at it, every time you have this thing that comes up against you, you can understand that a God that you can trust will hold you for a lifetime. That you'll understand how to go through it. Who has friends, or who you might be the person that goes to their friends about the same type of thing over and over and over again. You don't have the answers because they're not listening to you. Because you actually genuinely don't have the answers. Because you can't fix it. Because what you're banging your head against all the time is something that God needs to work in you. That their trust needs to be put in God in order for you to keep moving forward. It's not rocket science. We make it more complicated and we make it more dramatic than it ought be. Here's his word. This is what we can get out of a minor prophet that God left in out of all of them, that wasn't talking to the people, was actually talking back to God. I believe he left it in there purposely. Purposely for a moment like now. That an explanation will satisfy your head for a week, but a God that you can trust will hold you for a lifetime. And look at what became of those seven words. They were quoted three times in the New Testament. The verse that broke open the Reformation at the foundation of how anyone is put right with God, given to a man who was right then furious with him. If you're unsure what the seven words were, again, but the righteous shall live by faith. God trusted the most important sentence to the one prophet who argued with him, stay with it. Worship in it. Chapter 3 is a prayer set to music, but the fear hasn't gone. Habakkuk 3:16, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait. He is shaking, his legs won't hold him, and he waits anyway. We've taught people for years that faith means not being afraid. It's actually not true. He is terrified in verse 16 and worshipping in verse 18. Faith isn't the absence of trembling. It's where you stand while you tremble. Faith isn't the absence of trembling. It's where you stand while you tremble. Does anybody have an understanding for their own life what that is? Has anyone stood by faith trembling? Knowing that God, I'm doing this by faith, but I am scared spitless. I'm quaking in my boots. It almost seems like it's working against each other. It almost seems like it's not right to have this faith on one hand, but you're scared this time, that you've got the fear and you're trembling so much so. Look at what he was doing. His body was trembling, his lips was quivering. Anyone had a quivering lip? If you've got big lips, man, it makes a noise. Rottenness enters in your bones. This is what he was like. His legs were trembling beneath him. He was in a bad way. But yet he had faith. Then he walks through his losses one at a time. It's just a bad deal for him. This whole book's a bad deal for him. But he's working it through one step at a time. And that's what we need to do. He walks through his losses one at a time, deliberately, like a man walking his own farm. Listen to Habakkuk 3:17-19. And you know this, and we sing songs to this. You would have sang the song. I'm sure people that are around would have sang the song. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like the deer's. Fig tree, vines, olives, fields, flocks, herd, every source of food, every source of income. This isn't a hard year. It's total ruin. It's not just a hard year. It's total ruin. Itemized. Nothing left. Nothing coming. And then one word, yet. Yet. It's not optimism. He isn't saying it'll work out. He looks straight at the ruin, names every part of it, and says, I will still worship. What do we say? What do we say? Blah, 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 you God. Where are you, my God? You call yourself my God? You say you love me? You say you care for me? What have we said? Or have we never been to this place? When you've been to this place, you'll be amazed what comes out. Because what's in here comes out really quickly. And it's challenging. And it's naked before God. It is absolutely truth in front of you. There's no hiding from it. There's no hiding from it. And it's challenging to the nth degree. Worship that depends on the harvest isn't worship yet. Worship that depends on the harvest isn't worship yet. It's gratitude for a good year. Let that sink in for a little bit. Worship that depends on the harvest isn't worship yet. It's gratitude for a good year. It's the last picture. He makes my feet like the deer's. Have you seen those mountain goats that climb mountains? Have you seen those? Like, you literally have seen them in Kanata? Yeah, it's good. Like, they're just incredible. I've seen footage of them. They do some weird things. They just jump off too sometimes. Like, hey. You know, like, as you do. Being a gazelle myself, I would have definitely had sure feet up there. But these stand on ledges, which are you know, I've measured them. They're narrow. They're extremely, extremely narrow. A deer on the mountain ledge isn't safe because the ledge is wide. It's safe because of how it's made to walk. See, God doesn't promise him lower ground. He promises surer feet on the ground he's already on. See the internal work that's happening. So the promise is not to change your ground. The promise is to shore your feet so you can walk on the ground that you are already on. I just find that mind-blowing. I find that incredible. I find it just like God, yet not the God that we want him to do things when we want him to. The God that loves you so much that he gave his son for. This is that God. This is that God. And this is the God that transforms lives. This is the God that once that fire is lit by that single spark, burns like white hot. This is the fire that changes lives, transforms, and changes that one day you're walking this way and the next you're walking the other. That's called repentance. That's the God that drives you to repentance. But we think repentance is a dirty word. that you're a dirty, rotten sinner and therefore you should repent, turn or burn. This is God's grace and love and mercy over your life, over my life. That once you were walking one way and now you're walking another on the same ground, but now he shores your feet so you can walk on it. Come on. This is a good God. This is a God that seemingly, if you read it, saying, come on, God, help the dude out. Change some stuff. And he is, but just not the way we always want it. The answer, 600 years late, Habakkuk's question is never answered in his lifetime. Why do you stay silent while the wicked swallow up the righteous? The answer comes 6 centuries later, and it isn't a sentence. It's a hill outside Jerusalem. Because there, for one afternoon, God stayed completely silent while the wicked swallowed up the only righteous man who ever lived. God doesn't tolerate evil from a safe distance. He came and stood underneath it. The silence Habakkuk couldn't understand is the silence that saved him. Maybe take out Habakkuk's name and put your own. The 7 words God gave him on the tower are the words that tell us how to stand there. The righteous shall live by his faith. And one last thing. The final line of the book, and the guys can come up. The final line of the book is a note under verse 19. It should probably be in all your Bibles. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments. He handed it to the worship team. The argument, the fear, the shaking legs, set to music and given to the church to sing. You see, somebody's wrestling becomes somebody else's song. Somebody's wrestling becomes somebody else's song. So the three, one last time. Bring it. God is not fragile. He can hold your question. Stay with it. Doubt that stays becomes faith. Doubt that walks away becomes something else. And worship in it. Not when the harvest comes back. Now, while you tremble. Worship. Worship. I'm not going to ask you to pretend this morning because Habakkuk didn't. He stood in front of God with a shaking body and unanswered question and still said yet. We've said 3 things. We've said bring it, stay it and worship in it. And I'm going to ask you now which one God is speaking to you about. I said last week that I'm going to start opening the altar more. Again, I'm going to do it today. Because I think this is what the church does. We hear the word and we can respond to it. And we gather around each other and we pray for each other. And we just are there for one another. There's a space here at the front and there will be people to pray. It's a sign of strength, not weakness. So firstly, bring it, the unasked question. Some of us walk in here carrying something that you've never said out loud. I'm not asking you to resolve it this morning. I'm asking you to bring it. God is not fragile. He put Habakkuk's question in the Bible and left it there. He left it there so you can answer, so you can ask the same question. Come and stop carrying it alone. 2, stay with it. The long wait. Perhaps others of us here have prayed the same prayer so long you've stopped expecting anything. You're close to walking away, not in anger, just quietly by drifting. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. Come and take your stand at the watchpost again. Remember what the watchpost or who the watchpost is. Worship in it. Some of us are standing in verse 17 right now. Nothing has blossomed. There is nothing in the stables. You're not being asked to say yet this morning. You're being asked not to stand there alone. Come and let the church be the church and stand in it with you. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning, one that's never come at all, that the righteous shall live by his faith. Some of you have been near all this stuff all your life and never made it yours. You've been good, you've been here, you've been respectful, you've been around about it, but you've never put your weight on Jesus Christ and said, I'm trusting you and nothing else. That verse is your invitation this morning. Not the righteous sort themselves out, not the righteous understand all at first, but the righteous live by faith. It doesn't start with an explanation, it starts with a person. If God is speaking to you this morning, I would ask that you come out and so we can pray with you. There'll be others praying and I trust that your hearts are softening to the things of God. And I finish with this one line. We started with it. God did not answer his question. He answered him. And it was surely enough. It was surely enough. God didn't answer his question. He answered him. And it's surely enough. So if there's something out of that this morning that has resonated with you, if it hasn't, then so be it. I feel I've done what I've had to do this morning. I feel I've shared the character of God out of that book without us taking through into a history lesson, because it's all about what this, how we can apply this to our own lives and how we can use this word, which is living and active, which is relevant today, not in 605 BC. So that story is so real today. It's actually a story about your life sometimes. So maybe if that's you this morning, as the guys sing, I'm going to give this opportunity. Please don't respond because you're feeling sorry for me if no one does. It's not about me. It's actually all about you. So if there's something in that for you this morning, then come and we will stand with you and pray with you. We will pray that God gives you exactly what you need in the time that you need it. Maybe not what you want, but what you need. So God bless you and thank you. And I will see you at the front of you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.